This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37. You are with Kelvin and Ayman on the Evening Edition, and we are now talking about next story, which is about why it's been difficult for e-hailing drivers to contribute to SOCSO. This is after the Human Resources Minister M. Kulasegaran revealed that only about 20% of e-hailing drivers in Malaysia have contributed to SOCSO's self-employment scheme so far.
So this self-employment scheme was made compulsory for taxi drivers and other services like e-hailing since June 2017. Under the Self-Employed Social Security Act. And last year, the ministry targeted 100,000 e-hailing drivers to contribute to the scheme, and that's about 50% of the total e-hailing drivers nationwide. But, you know, it looks like this target was not met because only 20% have contributed to the scheme, and there have been proposals for this scheme to be extended to riders using motorcycle hailing platforms. But I think that, you know, before this is put into place, it's important for us to understand why this has received such a low response from the current e-hailing drivers. And the factors can be many, really. I mean, my suspicion is that because people get into the gig economy to, in theory, to supplement their existing income, right? Yeah. So you already have a job. You want to add a bit more to it by driving people around. So the idea of earning a supplementary income only to then put it into a SOCSO account and not being able to enjoy it in the short term, perhaps is not an appealing prospect to some of the e-hailing drivers, because that sort of defeats the purpose of earning more income.
Yeah, and you know, it's important that you highlight the word that in theory that it's supposed to only supplement your income, because I think there's been a growing number of gig workers that have been using stuff like Grab, stuff like Foodpanda and all that, and turning it into full-time jobs because they don't necessarily have other options. And also this was sort of highlighted in a new study by the Centre recently that they did actually find that more and more of these gig jobs are more or less equal to full-time jobs. You know, the vast majority of the respondents they interviewed, 86% of them claimed to spend 5 days or more on gig work weekly, 30% work every day, and 37% work about 6 days a week. So it is quite a sizable amount, you know. And I think as to some of the reasons why perhaps they are not signing up is that, for example, the minister himself said that there's just a lack of awareness. It's just really not perhaps knowing where they can sign up, you know, for a long time, because it was handled by the employers, not so much by yourself. And maybe there's also the issue with having to actively do that, right? As opposed to being an opt-out process, you actually have to, with full intention, opt into the program. So that might add to some amount of barriers to, you know, joining into SOCSO.
And I guess if awareness is the issue, perhaps is the awareness of how the mechanism works as well, because maybe you know, people don't know how to actually put in money into SOCSO and like how much they have to contribute to it. Maybe there's a fear that, you know, it sounds like I have to put in a lot of money into this, like 13%, just like EPF or something like that. So maybe that can hinder people as well. So if awareness is the issue, then, you know, it's logical that the next steps are moving forward is to, you know, create more awareness programs, really. Yeah. You know, just be more clear and transparent about, you know, how this can be done, how much you are supposed to put in, because I believe it's like 13 ringgit a month or something, depending on how much you earn from your e-hailing activities.
It's about, you can go as little as 13 ringgit a month or about 157 ringgit yearly, and that range can go up to 49 ringgit a month or 592 ringgit. But I think, you know, this also perhaps ties into our current struggle with defining gig workers, freelancers, you know, and how perhaps right now, because of that gray definition, that we can't really then, you know, want to say to these companies that do employ gig workers to say, maybe you should consider thinking about providing SOCSO, providing some sort of social protection and benefits to these workers. You know, you still consider them as freelancers, but maybe it's time to change that mindset, right? Because if you are if you already know and you likely have the data that they are working more or less full-time hours in your job, that it is no longer true and no longer enough to say that this thing that we're offering is still a side gig. This thing we're offering is just meant to supplement your income. No, a lot of people are using this as their main sources of income already. Perhaps it's really now the next step is to make and have discussions with these companies to start acknowledging mm-hmm. that fact.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, so if the awareness is low among gig workers, for example, the government can work together with the e-hailing companies to spread that message, or even, you know, sort of integrate it into their services in a way that makes it easier for people to participate in this SOXO scheme. Then that can help with, you know, taking care of the welfare of gig workers, especially at a time, like you said, Kevin, where more and more people are doing it as a full-time thing instead yeah. of a supplementary thing. So if it's going to be a full-time kind of occupation, it's really important to make sure that the welfare of the workers are taken care of in the long run, and not just, you know, making sure that they earn enough money in the short run.
So after this, we're going to look a little bit into the reasons as to why so few drivers have signed up for SOXO in terms of e-hailing. We're going to speak to Daryl Chong, president of the Malaysia E-Hailing Drivers Association, right after this. If you have any thoughts about this, you can send them to us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We especially love hearing from you. If you happen to be an e-hailing driver yourself, call us, reach out to us. You are listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 6:45. You are listening to The Evening Edition with Kelvin and Ayman, and we're talking about why so few e-hailing drivers have contributed to SOXO. So we're now going to cross over to Daryl Chong, president of the Malaysia E-Hailing Drivers Association. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Why do you think so few drivers have signed up for SOXO?
Actually, I think there are a couple of reasons. First of all is drivers do not know that this is actually a compulsory item. They are not aware. And many of them seem to be under the impression that, especially the part-timers, I'm working, so I already have SOXO. Why do I still need to contribute for my e-hailing career? Okay? That's one. Secondly, there is actually this compulsory insurance which is needed to be bought by an e-hailing driver. So again, to them, they feel that since they have this e-hailing insurance, why do they still need to buy SOXO? And lastly, of course, is the group of drivers. They do not know that it is compulsory, so they just ignore. They choose to ignore.
And could you walk us through why SOXO is still important to the drivers, even if they are already contributing to SOXO in their day job or they already have insurance?
Because many people do not realize SOXO actually helps in the sense that, assuming that something happens to you, okay, the family, the wife, the kids, they will get paid by SOXO, if I'm not mistaken, for the rest of their life. Even though the amount is small, assuming that you sign up for the most expensive package. If something happens to the driver, SOXO will continue to give a certain amount to the family until the children are of a certain age. So this is different. It's a totally different thing as compared to an insurance coverage, insurance policy. SOXO plays a very important role because you see, just a few examples. Let's say you were waiting for a job, you fell into the drain. Okay, let's say you are by the roadside, you're waiting for a job, you cross the road, you fell into a drain. This is real life, this is something that is real, that was given to me by SOXO. SOXO will actually pay you for that particular accident, even though you were not involved in a car accident. In other words, you were actually working. So SOXO itself is very important. It's more, in fact, to us, it will supplement the e-hailing insurance that is compulsory.
So the government has been trying for some time now to get more drivers to sign up. Why do you think the awareness hasn't reached many drivers yet?
In fact, from what I understand from our engagement with SOXO, from what we have seen, the only thing that they have done is to organize these workshops, get drivers to come and participate. Even so, they are not interested in coming. They are not interested in coming to listen to see what are the benefits, the actual benefits of SOXO. Other than that, I don't think I've seen that many road shows whereby they go on the ground and they talk to drivers. So this could be another reason why drivers are unaware. You know, when the association tells them, hey, you need SOXO, they're like, huh? Since when? How come? They don't even know that this is a requirement. To us, I think the best would be to get the e-hailing operators such as Grab, MyCar, to incorporate this important information in their driver's app. That means once in a while, remind them that, look, this is important for currently and also for your family and for the future. Hopefully, with this, the drivers will be more aware that, oh, this is something that I need to do apart from my insurance coverage, which is already compulsory.
So a few months ago, the chief executive of SOXO, Muhammad Azman Aziz, suggested that having an auto registry for taxi and e-hailing drivers, do you think this will help to solve the problem as well?
Yeah, it would be good if they are automatically registered. The thing is, the challenge will be, how is the payment going to be deducted? Because from what we understand, e-hailing operators, they refuse to be involved in this. Involved in the sense that they can actually always deduct from the credit wallet, you know, the driver's credit wallet. But till now, they have refused to have this arrangement. So no matter what, the driver has to take a step to actually make the payment by himself. The first step, at least.
Is there a reason why then e-hailing operators are reluctant to use this deduction system?
Okay, that's a very good question. You see, the relationship between drivers and e-hailing operators is not worker and employer. You know, sorry, it's not employee and employer. Basically, we are just partners. From what I understand, the e-hailing operators, they are reluctant to do this because they do not want the drivers to think that the e-hailing operators are paying for them. But actually, they are not paying for them. What the e-hailing operators is supposed to do is just to give an instruction to the bank, or rather transfer the money to SOXO on behalf of the driver. So at the end of the day, the e-hailing operator is not responsible for the driver. So the contract basically still stays as partners.
And is this a problem that's seen across the different e-hailing platforms?
I suppose it is, because otherwise, okay, from our experience, because we work with Pokeso closely, from the response that they give us, Grab is not very, is not keen on this arrangement, even though they are just doing the driver a favor by deducting it from their account. But as for other e-hailing operators, we have not heard of any proactive actions as well so far. So as you can see, in fact, this thing can be easily addressed if the e-hailing operator is willing to actually help out when they can auto-deduct the amount and pay to SOXO. Because they have the registry already, they have the database.
So since the beginning of this year, we also saw the introduction of motorcycle e-hailing services in the country. And this has sparked a lot of discussions and conversations about safety. Does that make the uptake of SOXO even more urgent?
Yeah, definitely. They have to do something. They have to maybe... Actually, last I communicated with the head of the department, but not the CEO of SOXO, I was told that they are trying to make it compulsory. That means work with APART. GBJ and MOT to make it a compulsory thing that if you are not contributing, you will be fined or you'll be compounded. As of now, there is still no black and white.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait for more updates then. Daryl, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Daryl Chong, President of the Malaysia E-Hailing Drivers Association, talking to us about the low uptake rates of e-hailing drivers' contribution to SOXO. And we have been receiving some messages about this story. Jason says Grab should contribute for its driver. Drivers will lose their disposable income. And we also have this here that sort of mirrors that thought that says that I agree with your suggestion. The government should make it compulsory for e-hailing companies to pay the SOXO contribution on behalf of their gig workers if a worker makes a certain amount for them, for example, 1,000 ringgit per month. Branding these workers as freelancers are literally washing their hands off these gig workers and should not be tolerated.
Yeah, and that is one of the sort of criticisms of the gig economy when, you know, it first started to, like, you know, become more popular. The fact that the workers are considered freelance workers or whatever other terms that they use, it means that there is less responsibility to ensure the welfare of the workers. So it really does boil down to how they are defined in the contract that they sign up or that they participate in when they join the service, mm-hmm. Because that will determine the degree of responsibility that the company has on the gig economy workers. And if it does help to make it compulsory for the companies to pay on behalf of the workers. Obviously, that would be good for the workers, but I'm sure that we some kind of pushback, perhaps, in terms of how the mechanism works on the side of the companies.
And I think to add to that, we also have to talk about the job conditions of these freelance, well, not really freelance, but of these gig jobs, right? You know, for one, if you are not working, you literally don't have any sort of benefits. You don't have vacation days, you don't have paid leave, you don't have sick leave, and you don't have anything that you can necessarily claim for. So if you're not working, you literally lose out on money. And that is scary, right? Because so long as people have started to recognize and to use these jobs as full-time jobs, then we have to shift our mindset on gig work. Up next, we have a message from Bing that says, when your current employment is unable to supplement your lifestyle, people move to this alternative. Henceforth, government should stop meddling into this. Already having a second job is a barrier to quite a number of professions, finance, banking, and legal. Make it flexible for them. Already doing extra will hurt your health. Make it optional for those in full time. Gig workers in my days are called freelancers. It's essentially the same. Well, I would urge you to actually check out this podcast that we did with April Rinney. And I think the conversations about gig work and about freelancers has become a bit more complex, right? Because if you are a gig worker, you are usually signed on to a platform for a very, very long time, or you're just signed on to one specific company. Now, actually, it seems like you're more of a contract worker as opposed to a freelancer. A freelancer, in the other respect, you tend to sort of go in with different, and you do have the flexibility to sign on to different projects with different companies. So I think that is the distinction, at least on my part, as to the difference between a gig worker and a freelancer.
Yeah, exactly. And there will continue to be conversations about, you know, how to ensure that the benefits or can be transferred perhaps across the different employments that the worker is involved in, transferable benefits, really. Because only then can we ensure that, you know, not only is the worker safe to work in the short term, but also in the long term, when they can guarantee post-retirement kind of savings and these sort of social security kind of mechanisms as well.
Keep your thoughts coming about SOXO and e-hailing drivers. 2018789899. That's our WhatsApp. You can call 7733-2900. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.